This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In project management, what does today really mean? Is it 9 a.m., 5 p.m., or is it midnight? I learned the hard way that that one vague word can derail an entire project. See, every project manager has that, you know, one lesson that cost them sleep, but paid for it 100 times over later. I remember like it was almost yesterday, and it evolved to just that one tiny word, today. I was leading a project where the next phase, and it was a big chunk of the project that was focused around the budget, and it also depended on this single deliverable in the stand-up. As the developer for an ETA, he said, "I'll get it done today." Man, music to my ears. You know, I'm excited. I updated the tracker, told the QA to prep, and went on with my dang thinking. We are golden. I can hear the song in the background, living my life like you're golden. But okay, I digress. But mid-afternoon, potential success turned into chaos. The testers were idle. Nothing was being tested. Stakeholders started pinging me. ED, any updates yet? Slack was buzzing like a hornet's nest. By 5 p.m., my credibility was circling down the drain. Deliverable finally hit my inbox around 11:47 p.m. Technically, he was right. It was today. But by then, QA was long gone, and we lost a full day, and I was left holding to the word today. That's when a light bulb went off. My job wasn't to just record answers. My job was to clarify them. Today could mean 9 a.m. It could mean 5 p.m. It could mean before the earth completely rotates. Okay, I'm being a little facetious, a little tongue-in-cheek with you. But without asking when today is, I had set everyone up for failure. Since then, I've operated on what I call assertive clarity. I just don't just accept answers. I pressure test them, because ambiguity is the silent killer of projects. One unasked follow-up question can cost you trust, momentum, and sometimes the entire project timeline. That night taught me a truth I carry into every project. Project managers don't fail because of bad code, bad chart. They fail because they don't kill ambiguity at the source. And that lesson, though expensive at the time, has paid dividend after dividends in every project that I've led. Let's get into the first principle. Not asking follow-up questions about commitments. Listen, family. When someone says, "I'll get to it today," it sounds great until you realize today meant 11:59. And the entire dependency chain was waiting there since the noon. So new PMs need to stop first and ask, so we can get clarity of, when you say today, does that mean at this particular time? See, this matters, family, because ambiguity is the silent project killer. If you don't nail down the when, you'll always be explaining delays like there are, like there really were delays, just misaligned expectations. Experiment with these actual tips. Always ask, will this be morning, afternoon, or evening when someone makes a commitment? Next one, tie commitments to the task owner, not just the task itself. And the last and final one, write it down where everyone can see it. It's not visible, as they say, until it's real. Here's my pro tip for you today. Follow-up questions don't make you pushy. They make you precise. And a PM who doesn't clarify is a PM who creates fire drills. Real quick, ask early, be specific, stay polite, confirm assumption, prevent fire drills, and document replies. Now, speaking of clarity, even when we think we have an agreement, it doesn't mean much if we fail to lock it in properly. Principle number two, poor documentation of decisions. Listen, verbal agreements are fragile. People forget, reinterpret, or flat out deny. Without documentation, you are running your project on quicksand, per se. You know why it matters. Documentation always will be conversation. Documentation prevents a bad project alignment. It prevents rework. It shuts down the dreaded, we never agreed to that type debate. We've all been there. But I would love for you to experiment with these actionable tips. Send a quick recap email after meetings with decisions and owners. Next one, keep a running decision log in your project tool. And the last and final one, pull receipts when challenged. Basically, what we're saying here is, here's what we agreed on this particular day. Here's my pro advice for you, family. The PM who documents controls the narrative. Without it, the loudest voice rewrites history. But I know what you're thinking. But documentation only works if they assume people are acting in good faith, which brings us to the next principle. Principle number three, assume a positive intent. Now, new PMs often jump into conclusion when team members miss deadlines or give short answers. The assumption, laziness, the assumption, defiance. In reality, though, most people are juggling more than you can see. And let me park here parenthetically, family. I always say before you jump to what you believe is going on, you need to ask better questions. There may be something going on personally. There may be something going on professionally. But why this matters, because assuming negative intents breeds resentment and defensiveness. Assuming a positive intent, it opens up the space for us to have a transparent, a real conversation about the roadblocks. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask what's blocking you instead of, why isn't this done yet? Next one, listen twice as much as you speak in tense moments. And the last and final one of this that I'd love for you to experiment with, praise transparency, even when the update isn't good news. Here's my pro advice I'd love for you to take away. Respect isn't built by suspicion. It is built by believing people want to do their job well. Start there and you'll build trust faster. Of course, I know what you're thinking. Believing the best doesn't mean ignoring reality. You still need to meet people where they are. And you're right. Principle number four, not meeting the team where they are. Family, I'll be honest with you. I have had some areas of opportunity, as we'll say, some challenges here, because I really put a lot of time, a lot of investment in really honing and learning my craft of this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. But I've also had to learn how to humble myself. I had to also learn where some teams are not at yet, you need to meet them where they are. But too many new PMs try to raise the standards without understanding their team's starting point. Let's be honest, you can't pull people up a hill if you haven't walked beside them first. Oh, I like that, family. See, this matters because teams don't follow someone who feels disconnected from their reality. They follow PMs who prove they understand the ground level. Experiment with these actionable tips. Spend the first sprint observing teams' rhythms before making any changes. Next one, use one-on-ones to learn more about their challenges, their frustration. Your job is to help them get through these items, not to make it even more challenging for them. The last and final one, introduce improvement gradually, not in a sweeping form. Not if we don't do this, this, and this, this is going to fail. No, because you're going to lose the entire team. Trust me, I've done it. I have the receipts for you. Hopefully you won't have to go through that, the quote Jay-Z. But leadership is empathy first. And here's some pro advice. Leadership is empathy first, direction is second. A PM who listens before leading earns the right to influence. But I know what you're thinking. And when you do earn that influence, remember, tools won't do the leading for you. One of my favorite values in the Agile values is individuals and interactions over process and tools. Principle number five, focusing too much on tools over people. Family, I've seen this time and time again where new PMs, they get excited. They want to talk about all the new tools that are out there that's consistently changing from Jira to Asana to Microsoft Project. But if you really take the time to really just learn the foundation of these tools, and all these tools I just named, Jira, Asana, Microsoft Project, Smartsheets, I love all of these tools. But the real value is when you don't try to hide behind the dashboards, where you go out and have the conversations, when you purposely get engaged and create interactions with your project team, as well as your stakeholders. Why does this matter? Tools can't replace the human element. Projects succeed because people talk and collaborate. I love to collaborate. I don't come in and say that I know everything because I don't, because we know one of the key words in a project is temporary in endeavor. Maybe that's two words. Not because you got this cute little dashboard, or you show this huge project schedule, or you're planning so effectively in here. If the plan doesn't really reflect the team, it doesn't matter how well you plan. Experiment with these actionable tips. Spend more time with your team than your own tools. Next one, treat tools as record keepers, not leaders. I had an episode where I talked about the ability to leverage tool to facilitate. These are what these tools are here for. They are excellent tools to help you facilitate, but you still need to get out and talk with your team. You still need to get out and connect with the actual project itself. Okay, the last one and final one, when the dashboard says green, but your gut says red, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to listen to your gut. That means your instinct. You want to understand that there's something there that is off, and we need to focus on this. Here's a pro advice. A beautiful Gantt chart won't save a failing project. However, though, a motivated, a determined, a resilient, aligned team actually will. Here's some thoughts. Clear shared purpose, strong communication, motivation over ownership. I like that. Aligned goals and trust and psychological safety. But I know what you're thinking. But even with strong communication, probably got to be aware of these backroom deals that quietly reshape your project, and you'll be accurate. Principle number six, letting stakeholders redefine the project privately. A VP corners you with a small request and you nod to avoid conflict. Suddenly, your project scope has shifted and no one else knows. Why is this important? Side agreements, side conversations destroy trust with your team, and they infiltrate scope and blindside not only your sponsor, but your project team. Experiment with these actual tips. Instead of agreeing right away, respond with, let's log that change request to evaluate impact. Now we have a process. I would even go one further on that and say, let's have a conversation. Let's bring that to the broader team as well as stakeholders so we could unpack that. Next one, always document off the record ask. Please document, because you know I'm going to go into my rant, but I won't, but I will go into the model here. Documentation over conversation. Documentation always beats conversation. And the last one, bring scope changes to the sponsor before work begins. Here's my pro advice for that. Your handshake in the hallway can quietly bankrupt a project. Guard your scope like it's your reputation, because honestly, family, it is. I know what you're thinking. And when you don't guard scope, problems go, and often behind your back before it's too late. Principle number seven, being the last to know about a problem. New PMs struggle with this because sometimes they are the last person to find out about what is going on. And you know why that is the case? It's not that the team is hiding it from you. It's the point of a couple things. We're going to unpack that. If your team hides blockers until they explode, you've built a culture where it's safer to be quiet than to actually speak up. Silence here isn't peace. It's suppression. I've worked on teams where this has happened, and I had to be vulnerable enough to create that safety because they were nervous to say, hey, well, if we do this, this may take down this particular system. I'm like, let's have this open conversation now, because if we don't, if it takes down the system and you knew about it, we're in trouble, because the first question is going to be asked, did anybody know? And if you can deny, eventually we'll figure it out that you knew the whole time by the way you're asking questions or how you are quickly to resolve it. So this matters, family, because the later problems surface, the harder and more expensive they are to fix. A project manager who always surprised quickly, they lose credibility. Experiment with these actionable tips. Asking your one-on-ones, what's slowing you down that I don't see? And when I define the one-on-ones, meaning if sometimes you have the ability to connect with your project team or stakeholders on a one-on-one basis, even in a group setting, we have to be able to create that, or just ping them in Teams or whatever, Slack, whatever that particular medium is, to see if you can get on a conversation with them to understand what is actually going on. It would actually help you out a lot, especially in the bigger meetings. Next one, praise early warnings instead of punishing them. I've seen this so many times where new PMs will just criticize and make someone feel, you know, less than that they brought something up. And it was like, oh, don't worry about that. And it's like, yes, we need to worry about that. And you need to be praising this person that they had the courage to speak up, because it not only impacts them, but it also impacts you. And the last and final one, create regular forums where small risks feel safe to raise. Here's my pro advice here. If you only hear about problems when they're fires, you are not leading. You are actually managing a project. Basically, you are just being a babysitter. And often, these particular bonfires were fueled by something you mistook as an agreement. Principle number 8, believing silence equals agreement. Oh, I see this happen so many times. A quiet room and nodding heads does not, and I repeat, does not mean alignment. They often mean confusion, reluctance, or a hidden agenda. Why is this important? A false agreement is one that most PMs run into, which creates a dangerous risk. It looks like alignment, but delivers resistance down the line. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask, does anyone see risk with this at the end of the meeting? Next one, call on quieter team members individually. This is a technique that I use more and more, because if someone is quiet, I'm going to call them, hey, what are your thoughts on this? I'd love to get your input, because now I'm creating that safe space for them. Last and final one, document decisions and give people a chance to challenge them in writing. Here's my pro advice for you, family. If you don't pull out the unspoken, it will pull your project entirely apart later. Agreements you don't test will always come back to test you. Well, family, as this heart of being a project manager isn't about having the perfect plan, it's truly about clarity, documentation, trust, and the courage to challenge what isn't said out loud. If you stayed this long, I truly appreciate it, because the truth about project management success and why new PMs fail is because most projects don't fail because they lack technical skills like making a Gantt chart. Instead, its failure often stems from overlooking the subtle human elements. But the real pitfalls, it is unmasked and not asking follow-up questions, the undocumented decisions, or mistaking silence for genuine agreement that leads to project derailment. Manage clarity, build trust, and protect delivery. Great projects, or I should say great project managers, actively resolve ambiguity, ensure commitment, are precise and understood by everyone. When we build trust, they foster an environment where positive intent is assumed and documentation is thorough, and the problems do not surface later, they surface early. As we're doing this and we're protecting the delivery, they have the courage to challenge the unspoken assumptions and protect the team's ability to deliver, not just tasks. Listen, if you want to stand out in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, don't settle for being a PM who tracks works. Be a PM who removes ambiguity, builds trust, and protects the team's ability to deliver, because at the end of the day, projects don't succeed on promises. They succeed on clarity, accountability, and most of all, courage. If you're new to the episode, I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.